American history is full of the good, bad, and everything in between. But in the end, these are our stories. Today's journey into American history will take you through the American frontier, boating down the Ohio and Mississippi River, and early childhood experience of a would-be president. Our episode today is on the frontier, Abraham Lincoln. So pull up a chair and join your host, Jacob, for another episode of The History Book. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The History Book. Today's episode might seem a little bit different than what you're normally used to on here, as I'm going to try and really make a point to show you how Abraham Lincoln's early life in the frontier and his upbringing influenced his later career and, in particular, his anti-slavery thoughts. So, let's start at the beginning. And by beginning, I mean the very beginning. Abraham Lincoln was the second of three children, born to Thomas Lincoln and Nancy Hanks on February 12, 1809, just outside of Hodgenville, Kentucky. He was born on a corn husk mattress on a dirt floor one-room cabin. His parents had been married for 3 years prior to Abraham's birth. Now, at this point, Kentucky's frontier is still very lawless, and very soon after Abraham's birth, the family would have to move to Knob Creek, Kentucky, due to land disputes, something that pops up in Thomas Lincoln's life consistently. The Lincoln family, of course, consisted of Thomas, Abraham's father, Nancy, his mother, Sarah, his sister and the oldest daughter, Abraham himself, and Thomas, the youngest child, who died 3 days after his birth. Nancy is typically described as about 25 years old at the time of Abraham's birth. She was tall, bony, and undemanding, and born to a Virginia family. She's also reportedly born as an illegitimate child. She's described as a gifted wrestler, a bold, reckless, and daredevil of a woman. Now, Thomas, on the other hand, is described as stocky and 30-something. Thomas Lincoln's childhood and much of his life was shaped by the fact that he witnessed his father killed by Native Americans right in front of him. Abraham and his father did not get along a great deal, and one reason for that may be rumors surrounding Abraham's true lineage. One very consistent rumor is that Abraham Lincoln was born from Nancy Hanks, his actual mother, and Abraham Inlow, and that is how he had gotten his name. This story does not fit with marriage dates of Nancy and Thomas, so it's quite obviously not true. And Abraham got his name from his grandfather, Abraham Lincoln. This rumor may contribute to the distant relationship with his father, but it's not the only rumor surrounding Abraham Lincoln's lineage. One rumor that became popular in southern newspapers prior to his election as president would be that Abraham Lincoln was actually born of mixed race. Again, quite untrue, but still, the rumors persist. This distance between Abraham and his father really kind of helped define Abraham's life, as he doesn't have that deep connection and didn't even take his children to visit his father on Thomas's deathbed. Being that his father was a drifting frontiersman and Abraham ended up where he ended up, their lives are very much going in opposite directions. Abraham and Sarah both learned to read and write in a small schoolhouse owned by a slave owner. This early time in Kentucky also helped shape Lincoln's views on slavery as well. His father was by no means an abolitionist, but did detest slavery, and in particular the fact that wealthy slave owners could move into Kentucky and claim land disputes from poor farmers such as Thomas. Thomas and Nancy were also church-going people and attended a anti-slavery Baptist church for Abraham's life in Kentucky. With land disputes and conflict over slavery in Kentucky, Thomas Lincoln picked up his young family and moved them around to Gentryville, Indiana. Now, right now, we're going to take a brief social media break, and when we come back, we'll pick up with the Abraham Lincoln frontier story in Indiana. Hello everyone, this is Jacob, the host of The History Book, here to remind you that you can find The History Book on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as on our website, www.thehistorybook20.wixsite.com/thehistorybook. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the episode. Welcome back to the show. As I was saying, Thomas Lincoln has just packed up his family and moved them to Gentryville, Indiana. Nancy's aunt and uncle follow close behind with Abraham's cousin, Dennis Hanks. Dennis and Abraham became close, and on many occasions, Dennis Hanks point out that Thomas was cruel and often distant with Abraham. Shortly after the move, Nancy's aunt and uncle came down with milk sickness, which comes from drinking milk from cows that have ate white snake root. Nancy took care of them and very shortly came down with the same disease herself and passed away on October 5th, 1818. This very heavily affected Abraham, who fortunately had to watch his mother waste away in incredible pain. After his wife died, Thomas left for weeks to go back to Kentucky and court and eventually marry Sally Johnston. By the time he got back, Abraham and Sarah were ill-clothed and dirty after being left with some relatives. Sally Johnston quickly turned the house around and brought furniture as well as her children into the house. Abraham would eventually go on to call his new stepmother his best friend. Adolescent Abraham Lincoln was a tall, lanky young man, as he would be throughout his entire life. He was known for buckskin clothes and pants that were too short for his legs. This clothing malfunction would often have him ridiculed for this by girls, and it made him extremely uncomfortable with women. He also was known for his capacity for learning and reading. Abraham was not necessarily himself a church person, but read the Bible quite frequently. Sally and Dennis both go on to claim that he was lazy in terms of farm work, and that he mostly cared to read and learn. The older Abraham got, he moved to make more money for his family, and he helped to transport goods in the Ohio River. On one occasion, he met a steamer in the middle of the river, and the men on deck tossed him a coin. Abraham Lincoln would later claim this was the most important incident in his life. In January 20, 1828, tragedy once again struck the Lincoln family as Sarah Lincoln, his sister, passed away in childbirth. Abraham was utterly devastated and is reported to wail so bad that it scared many a relative. That traumatic incident obviously contributed to Abraham Lincoln's deep depression later on in life. Throughout his childhood, and especially into his adulthood, Abraham Lincoln dealt with a deep depression. Even at his highest moment in the 1860 Republican Convention, Lincoln is reported to have been alone at the end of the hall with his head in his hands, the definition of gloom and depression. Perhaps in some sort of way to escape this depression, Abraham accepted a job to transport goods down to New Orleans. On his trip, Abraham and his companions were asleep when seven escaped slaves attacked his boat, but Abraham is able to chase them off. Abraham earned his largest sum of money and saw his largest city up to that point. When he arrived back home, his father Thomas had once again decided to move the family further west to Indiana. Despite Indiana voting to be non-slave, Thomas didn't want freed blacks competing for work. Once again, this shows Thomas Lincoln's views as not abolitionist by any means, but certainly anti-slavery. He didn't want big slave plantation owners to be able to move him off his land with their money, but he also didn't want increased competition for jobs in the area. Thomas moved his family to Coles County, Illinois. At this point, Abraham is largely on his own, but he once again sails to New Orleans to earn some extra money for his family, and either on this trip or the first one, he witnesses African American slaves being whipped in chains. This was a formative moment as Abraham sees the violence of slavery in the United States. After this trip to New Orleans, Abraham returned to Illinois, but finally leaves for New Salem and strikes out completely on his own. Right now, we are going to take a brief ad break, and when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about the relationship between Abraham and his father, Thomas. Thanks for turning in to that brief ad break. Since we covered Abraham Lincoln's early life, I thought we could talk about his relationship with his father a bit more and how this really shapes him into his adulthood. Now, I've mentioned this relationship with his father briefly, specifically how Thomas treated his son Abraham. Thomas was reportedly harsh with Abraham, especially after his wife Nancy died. Due to their frontier life, young Abraham was expected to contribute greatly to the farm, with Thomas very much pushing Abraham into this, especially with his failing eyesight and most likely a declining health due to his age. Thomas was supposedly a strict disciplinarian and would cane and smack Abraham even for minor offenses, such as forgetting a chore or welcoming strangers onto the farm before his father had. Part of the issue between Abraham and his father was Thomas's lack of education. Thomas was apparently illiterate and didn't much understand Abraham's yearning for knowledge. To some degree, Abraham didn't really understand Thomas's early life, and especially Thomas seeing his father die in front of him. There are some reports that Thomas did favor his stepson, John Johnston. It certainly didn't help that Abraham had to provide his father with money and on several occasions, and his stepbrother John even asked for financial support as well. When his father was on his deathbed, Abraham wrote to his stepbrother saying, quote, "Say to him that if we could meet now, it is doubtful whether it would not be more painful than pleasant, but that if it be his lot to go now, he will soon have a joyous meeting with many loved ones gone before, and where the rest of us, through the help of God, hope ere long to join them." Just to add to a very obvious distance between Abraham and his father, he also wrote, quote, "I feel sure you have not failed to use my name, if necessary, to procure a doctor or anything else for father in his present sickness. My business is such that I could hardly leave home now, if it were not as it is, that my own wife is sick. I sincerely hope father may yet recover his health, but at all events, tell him to remember to call upon and confide in our great and good and merciful Maker, who will not turn away from him in any extremity." End quote. Thomas Lincoln would never be invited to his son's wedding, and he never met Mary and Abraham's children. Now, to some degree, Abraham may have felt guilty for not attending his father's funeral, and he would eventually name his fourth son Thomas, or Tad for short. In perhaps the most telling of ways that Abraham Lincoln's relationship with his father affected his life, Abraham Lincoln was a caring and indulgent father with Willie and Tad, but not as much with Robert, who one could speculate may have reminded Abraham of his father more than the young boys did. If you'll stay tuned, we're going to wrap up the episode and introduce what's coming up next. Welcome back, friends. Being that February is the shortened month, I've decided to adjust the schedule of the podcast just a bit. The next episode won't be coming out until the beginning of March, both in an attempt to spread out the episodes a bit and to give myself a much-needed break. The next episode will be coming out on March 10th at our brand new time of 10 a.m., just like last week. That episode on the 10th will be on the Georgia Gold Rush. In that episode, you might even hear a familiar quote that you would not have known came out of Georgia. Until then, this has been Jacob with the History Book, and I'll see you next time.